Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Voices of Women is a top radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voices, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm very excited today. We're going to continue talking about food. Last week, I spoke with Mary Lane, one of our Woman of Wisdom presenters, about eating seasonally and being connected to the earth and the divine feminine. And today, we're going to talk with Vicki Robin and about her new project, a book that's coming. We've got to wait a whole year almost to get this book, Blessings the Hands That Feed Us. So I'm so excited. Vicki is... I'm going through her bio. It's an amazing amount of things that she has done. She's the co-author of the national bestseller, Your Money or Your Life, Transforming Your Relationship with Money and Achieving Financial Independence. She's called the Prophet of Consumption Downsizers by the New York Times. And she's a frequent speaker on this issue of the national trend towards sustainable lifestyles. She's been on the Oprah Show, the Good Morning Show, NPR's Weekend Edition and Morning Edition. She's been featured in many magazines, People Magazine, Wall Street Journal, Woman's Day, Newsweek, New York Times. I mean, this woman really gets around. She's launched many sustainability initiatives, including the New Roadmap Foundation, the Simplicity Forum, the Turning Tide Coalition, Sustainable Seattle, the Center for a New American Dream, Transition Whidbey, and more. And in the 1990s, she served on the President's Council on Sustainable Development's Task Force on Population and Consumption. In addition to her sustainable consumption work, Vicki has been a leader in the field of dialogue. She co-created the Conversation Cafes Method and Initiative, promoting it first in Seattle and then throughout the world. She's received awards from Co-op America and from Sustainable Northwest for her pioneering work on sustainable living. A&E Entertainment Show Biography recently honored Vicki as one of the 10 exceptional citizens in Seattle. So what we're going to talk about today is for 1 month in 2010, Vicki ate what only grew within 10 miles from her home on Whidbey Island. And I'd say that's quite a challenging feat. It would be that alone for me living in Seattle to go 10 miles, but to do this on an island where you have to rely on ferries to bring most of the food supplies to the people that live there. It takes a lot of focus and determination. And this experience has led her to write this book that we will get to read in 2014, Blessing the Hands That Feed Us. So welcome, Vicki, to Voices of Women.
Thank you so much, Chris. That was a lot you had to read about me. I guess I've been around a long time.
I think so. And well, first, I want to hear your story. How did you get to be such an activist? What was it when you grew up that gave you that, well, that message or that directed you to be an instigator for change? Because that's what you are.
Yeah, I would have to say, Chris, that I have always been that way. When I was 4 years old, when my brother and sister had already gone to school and I wanted to go to school too. So I organized the little girls in the apartment store, next door to come to my bedroom, and we had school and I don't think I could read. So I've always been somebody who has looked into the edge of things and seen thing gaps and been able to just jump in there because that's what's really interesting to me. I call sustainability an extreme sport. I really like to, when I know the truth of something or I have an inkling about something, I like to run personal experiments to see how it is to actually live that value. When I was questioning consumerism as a way of life and questioning whether there wasn't more to life than 9 to 5 to 65, what my partner used to call making a dying. And I mean, was there another way to arrange my life other than organizing myself to sell my talents for money and use that money to buy services from other people, because I was competent only in one small sliver of reality. I just decided to live as close to the edge as possible and empower myself as much as possible, and to throw creativity and guts at things rather than money. So that resulted in, you know, like 40 years ago, I lived for several years on $100 a month. I learned how to do anything I needed. I learned how to do it. I learned how to do auto mechanics, and I rebuilt a motorcycle from a box of parts. And it's not just that. I mean, I learned how to make, I had a surfeit of beets, and I learned how to make beet wine. I just, every time, I encounter something that's new that I don't know, I will get busy and get learning. I learned how to butcher animals, raise animals, butcher animals, you know, the whole nine yards. And then it evolved that, my strategy, my partner Joe Dominguez's strategy for living, financially minimally, but spiritually maximally, you know, like really liberating as much time as possible from the daily, what Joe used to call making a dying, so that we could actually do our spiritual work. We could investigate our own lives. We could meditate and do practices. We could be of service to others. And as that evolved, people became interested in, well, how is it that you all aren't working for money? What's that about? And so we developed a course based on what Joe had developed for himself in the 1960s, a very common sense approach to the flow of money and stuff through your life. Really asking the question, is the life energy I'm investing to get the money in my wallet to buy the things that I'm buy, is all, that whole activity actually buying me a life I love? And once people started asking that question, they started recognizing, sort of separating the wheat from the chaff in terms of stuff. How much do I really need? What do I really need for the maximal happiness, beyond which more stuff, more food, more anything really degrades my experience of well-being rather than adds to it. So we introduced a series of practices to people through this book, Your Money or Your Life, that really took off. There's something like a million copies of this book out there in a dozen languages. It was in its first year when it came out in 92. It was the most requested book in the U.S. library system. Because we used to tell people, don't buy the book, you know, save yourselves $20, you know, just get it from the library. And if you decide you really want to mark it up and use it, then sure, buy it. So at that time, also, what motivated me to take this program that we had lived and we'd developed, and it was very satisfying personally, but I didn't really have a big drive to spread it everywhere. But in 1989, I went to a major conference on sustainable development. It was a fairly new word, if you can imagine that, because it's so common now. But it was a word that came out of a process in the 1980s. The UN had a commission, the World Commission on Environment and Development, and had this these commissioners travel the world to find out, how are we going to manage what was clearly a collision course between environmental integrity and economic growth? It was becoming clear at that time that this was a problem. And when I went to this conference and I saw the magnitude of our environmental problems, and I heard from every single commissioner, heads of all the major environmental organizations, they all said, what we've discovered is that really it's the level and pattern of consumption in North America that's driving us off a cliff. and the spread of that way of life around the world, that we're exporting this particular ideology of consumerism. And they felt powerless to do anything about it, you know, because you can't get between an American and their right to consume. And I was there and I thought, well, wait a second, because for 10 years we've been teaching the program that ended up in Your Money, Your Life. And we know for a fact that when people use these tools, their spending goes down by an average of 20% and they are happier. So I'm sitting on the solution to the biggest problem on the planet. And so I think I'm going to do something about that. And that's when we wrote Your Money, Your Life. And I've spent the next decade really promoting this program, understanding that we weren't giving people a formula for, you know, a good economy. We were giving them a strategy for extricating themselves from the toxic story so that they could have a life that they love and liberate their time to develop their gifts fully. So that's, you know, that's all part of the stream of what I do, is this sort of social innovation at the edge of what's known, from a point of view of common sense. And so fast forward, many, many things happened. We don't have to go into the whole story, but about 5 or 6 years ago, I came to really, the penny dropped for me on this idea of peak oil. And peak oil was really saying that, sometime right about now, we have exploited about half of the fossil fuel resources on the planet. And we have exploited the easy and cheap oil. And the next quarter is going to be harder to produce, more expensive to produce, probably dirtier. And then the last quarter, we're not even going to be able to get it. And if we even burn more than we've burned now, we are sending the planet into climate destabilization. So
I got to stop you right here because we're going to have to go to our commercial break. So this is Christina. So when we come back, we're going to explore more with Vicki Robin. Thank you.
Tune into Intuit University, compassionate guidance, connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard. Each Thursday at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, get ready for an hour of practical spirituality, fun, and a magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring, as Sherry supports, inspires, and empowers you to create your highest good in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, spirituality, and more. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com. Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Saskia has been helping clients around the world find the North Star in their soul and reinvent their lives through her free breakthrough program, The Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 Days. If you have a calling but aren't sure how to get there, here's a step-by-step strategy to find your purpose now. You'll learn her proven secrets to achieve your dream in just 21 days. Release your fears and go after your biggest dreams and create the life you love. visit YourSoulGuidance.com to receive your 21 Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams, or to schedule your Soul Breakthrough Session with Saskia, or call 978-302-0861. That's 978-302-0861. Or visit YourSoulGuidance.com. That's YourSoulGuidance.com to receive the Secret Soul Map to Your Dreams in 21 days.
Have you ever considered what money and sex have in common? Brenda St. Louis, founder of Know That You Know, explores the energies of debt, money, sex, and our bodies. In her four-week intensive Debt Into Delight, Getting Intimate with Your Digits, she tickles all those places we don't want to look at, infusing everything with exuberance. Would you be willing to have more money? Would you be willing to have more of you? Explore more of Brenda St. Louis at knowthatyouknow.com.
Women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom, women of strength, women of wisdom.
Well, welcome back. I'm Chris Stainis. You're listening to Voices of Women, and we're having a conversation with Vicki Robin. And she was just talking about, you know, the oil situation, and this leads into the food issue, because we all know, you know, what drives our food to, you know, we have pineapples from Hawaii, we have bananas from Mexico. How does that get to where we live? We're using up oil. And so let's move on to, Vicki, how you turned your attention from money to food.
Right. Yeah. So it really is the same transformational consciousness, the recognition that there is a major problem. It's not going to be solved, you know, collectively, and it's not going to be solved just by a new policy, that it really needs a change in consciousness. And the way I investigate a change in consciousness is I go up close and personal. And so when I became aware of the amount of oil that's sort of that our food system is so oil dependent, and that, you know, and where I live on Whidbey Island, we're completely oil dependent because the trucks come on the ferry. That's how we get our food. And so we have 3 days of food in the grocery store. And I have a friend who's a market gardener. And when I was becoming aware of this, I said, Pam, you know, how much could we feed ourselves here in Whidbey Island? We have a population of about 60,000 and it's semi-rural. So there looks like there's agricultural land. And she did a calculation of foods that grow here and season, et cetera, et cetera. And her calculation was we could survive for August, maybe. And that was like a big wake up call for me, because there's 11 other months in the year and I didn't know why anybody else wasn't worried about this. So I, in a partnership with another friend who is a market gardener, who was curious about, you know, how serious is it that she grows food and she sells it at the farmer's market, but could she really feed somebody out of her garden? And she wasn't willing to run the experiment on herself. She was looking for a friend to do it. And it was just my cup of tea. Sustainability is extreme sport. So I said, sure, I'll do that for a month. It was like a Morgan Spurlock supersized meat experiment, except it was super veggie meat. And then we realized, oh, there's no protein. So we made it a 10-mile diet, because she's within a 10-mile radius of my home. And I was allowed to go and find every other kind of food stuff that I thought I needed within that 10-mile radius. It was a huge wake-up call. Let me tell you, you know, and I challenge anybody to at least even run the thought experiment of what would I eat if I was eating within 10 or, you know, even 50 miles of my home. If everything I needed, I had to acquire within 50 miles of my home. Suddenly you become very, very interested in gardening. You become very, very interested in that little sign on the side of the road that says meat sale today, 10 to 2. That's what I found, you know. So as soon as I realized I had to get local meat, I was like, where do I get it? And so when I used to just drive past this pretty farmland thinking, oh, nice backdrop to my wonderful life. And suddenly that farmland was really interesting to me. And that farmer and those cows that were in the field, they were crucial to my well-being. And there's something about creating a limit in your life that's an awakening moment where you say, okay, I really need to examine all my eating habits. And look, I am a compulsive eater. I used to say that my favorite position is with a spoon in my hand and the refrigerator door open. And after 9 o'clock at night. So it's not like I was particularly virtuous in this regard. As a matter of fact, I wasn't. But the experiment was sort of bracing like cold water in the face. And I found, I went into the supermarket to see whether what I could find there. And there was only one product that was grown within my 10 miles. The other 50,000 products in that supermarket were off limits. And the one product was honey that was produced in Freeland. And so I got meat from this little meat sale sign that I saw. And then I wanted milk. And I gave myself four exotics because I knew that if I didn't have these, I was really going to suffer. And one was oil. Second was caffeine. The third was salt. And the fourth was lemons because I always drink hot lemon water in the morning. And most people who do some sort of locavore diet really do actually develop precisely those sorts of exotic foods plus chocolate. I'm not a chocoholic, but so I wanted milk for my morning cup of tea. That was crucial. And I stumbled into that local raw milk is illegal, that it's illegal to sell raw milk. And so I that was my first exposure from taking an interest just in feeding myself within the 10 miles to realizing, oh, I see our food system, the availability of food on my island is shaped by policies that are not developed by the people on the island, but are developed, you know, nationally or statewide. And for good reason, because we are so alienated from our food system that people don't want to take responsibility for figuring out, you know, whether this is a good source of milk. They want their milk pasteurized. So that was one wake up call. Another wake up call was when I was looking for meat and somebody said, oh, my neighbor has some chickens. And I went over and the chicken was $5 a pound. And, you know, I'm known for hyper frugality. So this was sort of a big gulp for me. But when I did the math about, you know, the cost of chicks, the cost of the ones that you lose to the coyotes and the eagles and the owls, the cost of feed, the cost of water, cost of electricity, cost of the whole setup, the chicken barn. That's what a chicken costs, and the time you invest in raising that chicken and butchering it and plucking it and all of that's what meat should cost. So what's the deal that our meat is so cheap? And then, so you go into the policies around subsidies and vertical integration and industrial food, you know, suddenly you find yourself through this little itty bitty door of, I think I'll eat what grows within 10 miles of my home, into the unsustainability of our global system and seeing the actual linkages that are toxic to having plentiful, healthy, accessible food locally. So it was like I fell in love with food in a way that I never had before. Not like in love with pecan pie, but in love with the fact of food. So it was a big wake up call. In the middle of the month, I also started having this experience because my eyes were so open to, like, where's the food in my 10 miles? That I realized that as a product of the industrial era, I am completely oriented that the food is in the grocery store. I think that. And it's in the grocery store, but really it's in the garden. And really it's all around me that I live in food. I am food. It became almost a mystical experience of both my vulnerability. You know, I'm really dependent on the integrity of this living world and also the plenitude of the living world that we are designed to flourish here. So I'm just saying it was a totally transformational experience and I lost 6 pounds.
That's one of the benefits. So you ate more vegetables. You probably had, and I was reading parts of your book, you talk about having to give up the quantities of food and the quantities, particularly of meat products.
Yes.
Which is a healthy way to eat. Instead of having 6 to 8 ounces, having 3 ounces.
Exactly. You know, one way to handle the fact that it's double the price is eat half as much. And also that we need to honor what, you know, we need to honor the life of the animal, but we also need to honor why I call it blessing the hands that feed us. We need to honor the hard work of our neighbors and friends, the real human beings who raise this food and get it to us in a wholesome state. And so how can I abuse food? How can I pig out on food when I start to appreciate the investment of all the elements of life in bringing that food to me? So food went from being a sort of an entitlement, you know, as long as I had the money, I had the food, to being a gift from the living world. And so saying grace made so much sense. You know, it was like, of course, I feel connected to the whole food chain, and not just the value chain of, like, you know, food that gets out of the field, but the food chain, the living, you know, the air and water and soil, all of that is alive, and all of that I'm committed to now.
Yes, yeah, so we were talking about that last week too. The fact of you know, we grew up blessing our food. It was a prayer. It was, you know, kind of a Christian thing to do, but it was about blessing the food. And we kind of get away from that. And it is what you talked about too. It's like making food sacred and making it an act of a conscious act rather than, well, you know, the unconscious, you know, the spoon in the fridge and just eating whatever's there. And it's that convenience we have of the supermarket. Well, this is Chris Stanis. You're listening to Voices of Women. When we come back, we're going to talk more about this 10-mile diet and what you can do to live sustainably, eating local foods, et cetera. We'll be right back.
Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in each Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Awakening Radio with Patricia. This hit show awakens your dormant, divine, feminine energy. The Awakening Show is the next step on your evolutionary journey through life. Get ready to awaken the dormant seedings within you, your soul's encodement, power, and purpose, and bring this forward with confidence and clarity through the power of your own voice. This show promises to boldly go where you've been before. You just need to remember. Be inspired. Become rewired with The Awakening Radio. Visit awakeningradio.com for weekly topics.
Welcome to Sisters Talk Radio. Awaken the feminine power that glows in your heart. There are just certain heart-to-heart conversations you can only have with your sisters. The conversations you crave when you need to reconnect. Mona and Savitri explore our feminine power as they look at headline topics and what women are talking about. Join us on Sisters Talk Radio, Fridays at 2 p.m. Pacific and 5 p.m. Eastern. Only on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Michelle Bond Show. Awaken to a new reality. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. This call-in show with Vedic astrologer, expert, and holistic health practitioner, Michelle Bond, will give you insight to a wide range of topics. This hit show provides healthy, empowering knowledge and information and restores your health and well-being through learning the latest complementary and alternative medicine modalities. Visit themichellebondshow.com.
What if you could teach your child how to follow their own wisdom and make trustworthy decisions? The hit radio show Teaching from the Heart with Julie Kay does just that. Tune in Mondays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com to learn practical and spiritual ways to teach young people how to become confident in who they are. Each week, Julie takes on tough topics that most parents dread, like bullying, peer pressure, self-esteem, social media, relationships, and even poor grades. For more information about Julie Kay, visit MindFocusGeneration.com.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Women of wisdom, women of wisdom, women of wisdom, rise and shine, sister of light, spirit of woman, rise and shine.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I just want to say that song is by Lorraine Bays, one of our previous music directors. She wrote the song for Woman of Wisdom. And we're doing a special on our Woman of Wisdom CD. You can purchase it for $10 or two CDs, which includes our Sacred Fire Choir CD, for $17. It includes shipping. You would need to just go to PayPal and put in purchase at womanofwisdom.org, and then in the note field put in you want a Woman of Wisdom CD, and we will ship that to you. So I'm talking about the food systems in America with Vicki Robin. Vicki, do you have a contact information or websites where people can go and, you know, read your articles or your blogs?
Yes, I do. My website is in process, so VickiRowan.com is not up yet. But people can go to yourmoneyoryourlife.org, and I've been blogging there for a very long time. And then if you want to read the blog that I maintained while I was doing the 10-mile diet, you can go to 10-mile diet. That's the number 10milediet.wordpress.com. And so you can see the archives, and then I'm putting up more and more as I learn more and more about food systems on that site.
Great. And I noticed there was an article in the Yes Magazine, when I did a search for you on Google, and you posted your 8 rules that you derived from the truths from this experience. And I want to go into that too, but let's talk about this 10-mile diet. Do you think everyone should try some sort of a, maybe not 10, 25, 50. What would you suggest people do?
So if you want to run the experiment that I ran, yes, set a distance, 10, 50, I don't care. And be faithful to it. Anytime you put on a limit and you are faithful to that limit and you do it in service of raising your consciousness, you are going to discover a lot about yourself and about the world you live in. But not everybody wants to do such extreme experiments, whether it's, you know, time, money, or just comfort or whatever. So there are things that I could suggest that people do to begin to commit themselves to local food. One is not only shopping the farmer's market. I mean, a lot of us will shop at a farmer's market, but we shop at the farmer's market as if it were the produce section in our grocery store. So I know farmers who tell me that people come around and they squeeze the tomatoes, and then they don't have any loyalty to one grower. So, it becomes a competition among all of the people at the market about who can price their tomatoes the lowest so that they get the most customers. So basically, to go to the farmer's market and to develop a loyalty, you know, come to know the farmer, not just as sort of an adorable person in bib overalls, but what are their issues? You know, what makes it, why do they love farming? What's hard about farming? How can you participate with them to make it easier and better? And participating doesn't mean you have to go out in the fields and, you know, and weed. Participating might be some of that one-click activism that we do, you know, with organizations that are supporting farmers or healthy food. It could be, It could be asking in your grocery store, you know, just continuing the conversation with your produce manager in your grocery store. Like, why don't you have more local food? And what would make that available? It could be learning about the farm bill. I mean, that's sort of like reading a telephone book, but it could be, you know, you start to realize, or you could, you maybe you're a PR person and you could, you know, help them with marketing or positioning of their product, or maybe you're a storyteller, maybe you're a teacher, or you start to, once you actually have a relationship with a farmer, you start to care in a different way. It's not just I'm shopping for me. It's that I'm shopping for a better world. And I call this whole process relational eating. It's that shift from being a lone eater in the endless food courts of the world, you know, food that comes out of nowhere from the industrial system, to being a local relational eater, to understanding that through food, an act that you do three times or more a day, that is your entry point into a more sustainable world. And it's your entry point into a healthy community, into belonging somewhere, into having a grounded love for the people around you, to a kind of security of community that we try to buy security in other ways, whether it's, you know, buying insurance or, you know, long-term care insurance, or we do money-based ways of securing our future. And once you start to belong in a community and to a community, you start to find that there is a river of resource that moves around real communities that just eliminates some of the insecurity and also eliminates some of the expenses. So to really create a relationship, and also if you join a CSA, don't treat it like a grocery delivery service, you know, and go like, I don't like what I got in my box this week, or it's not enough. You know, somebody else got something better in their box. No, you're in partnership with a farmer. That's your entry point into being in relationship with the soil. I mean, you're not going to necessarily dig yourself, but somebody else is out there. And that's your connection. And you start to care about, oh, what are the kinds of soils that are on that farm? And, you know, what kind of fertilizer do they use, and how do they blah, 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 blah. So those are a couple of things you could do. The other thing is that I think what we're doing is a shift from being a consumer of food to being a participant in the food system. And those are just a few brief words, but it's a world of difference. Once you grow some sprouts on your windowsill, or just have a tub on your deck that has some herbs in it, you become a farmer. You're a producer. And just that little act of water on seeds and watching it sprout and tending it daily and then eating your crop, you start to feel empowered in a way that I know that I, you know, modern industrial, busy, busy person, I have a relationship with my food. And so that's, I think these are small acts that you can do. Another one is, I just think it's important in many ways to eat less meat. I am a carnivore, and I actually do believe that, you know, traditional healthy food systems included animals, for fertility, for wholeness, for protein, et cetera. This is how humans have eaten for millennia. So I'm not against eating flesh, but I think that we need to do it sparingly. In respect of the animal, and also in respect of the cost to the earth of raising animals. And so you need to buy that local chicken and eat less of it, but with more honor. And to realize more and more, I used to be sort of a hifty-hifty, organic food shopper. And, now I'm much more committed to buying organic food because it's, you know, I'm paying attention to the soils, and to taking care of the earth. It's an entry point. And so if you just say, or you adopt one food, and in the Northwest, kale is like you know, really great food. Almost anywhere, kale is a great food. And you start to realize, you know, I can have, you know, 10 ways to cook kale. I can just fall in love with that food. Or your potatoes, you just, everything you eat, you wonder, like, what's with this vegetable? You know, what's the history of the potato? What are some issues for the potatoes of this world? So you, it becomes a loving relationship with all of your food.
Yeah, that's such a, and I can see where that would take such a discipline, because we are all so busy that we have to wrap our head around, how can I do that? So I think, and what you're saying is, take small steps.
Exactly. Take small steps. And one of the ways that we can do it, and apparently your guest last week, and you talked about this as well, is that by saying grace before we eat, it's a recognition of our relationship with the systems that nourish us. And it's a form of honoring. And so just even that act of saying grace, or another one is, I believe I noticed when I did this diet, it sort of became so apparent to me how often I eat alone, whether I'm working and I have my lunch at my computer, or I just, you know, and it's so normal to break bread with other people. You know, community has become something like it's a sauce. It's not the meal, you know, because we can so easily in this culture live without, you know, depending on other people. We depend on money. And so I think sitting down once a week, having a sit down meal with friends and family is a very nourishing way to re-enter this idea of relational eating. Once you open the door to this, you start to see that there are many ways to enter. See, and I think it's not just doing two or three things, but it's regarding anything you do as an entry point into a deeper relationship with your food, which makes nourishes not just your body, but also your connection with life itself.
And yeah, that's so important. So we're going to go to a break now. This is Chris Stanis on Voices of Women, and we'll come back for a short segment and continue our conversation with Vicki Robin about food and our relationship with food and our community.
Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and... Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Some talk networks broadcast whatever they want to, whether the vibration is high or low. Others tune in to the highest vibration possible to help people live life full out. These networks don't come along very often. But when they do, they remind us that we can achieve everything that is possible. To help ourselves, to help others, and to help the planet.
I'm Sue London.
I'm Karen Hager.
I'm CJ Liu.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show, talk radio to thrive by. These networks aren't concerned about sensationalizing bad news.
They hear something on the radio, and then all of a sudden, their whole day is ruined.
They aren't concerned about sensationalizing individuals' setbacks.
Powerful, inspiring.
They focus on an amazing, innovative broadcast network.
You can learn a lot.
That helps people rise up. That helps people become empowered.
Empowered Living Radio is where you can find it.
That helps people say yes to standing in the abundance and amazement that is their lives.
The urge to grow.
These networks remind us that everything is possible.
Let us inspire you.
that nothing is limited.
Epic social change.
That our lives are much more than anything our minds would hope us to believe.
Overcome those challenges in your life.
These networks help us rise and shine to the occasion of our lives.
True empowerment.
Transformation Talk Radio is one of these networks.
Transformative radio show that will change your life.
Won't you join us? Join us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to Peace World Radio, vibrant conversations to change the world with Christina Jantz, each second Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com and KKNW. This hit show is energetic, vibrant, and an engaging forum that's getting people talking. Christina brings you extraordinary and courageous people, bold in thought and action, who dare to dream that things can be different. Peace World Radio. Join the talk the world is having.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stanis, and I'm having a fabulous conversation with Vicki Robin. We were just talking about, you know, eating, having a relationship with our food and being very conscious of our eating and having relationships with the farmers. And so let's talk about this. You know, I know, in fact, I know a young couple who have, are farming down in south of Seattle, and it's too far away from me, but they just put a food stand out on the end of their street. It's a busy road that people commute, and they come by and buy their food, and they're into their this will probably be their second summer, and they're just so excited. But you know, it's very hard for young farmers. You want to be a farmer, the expense of it, and then following the regulations that's set up. Just talk a little bit about that.
So there's a lot to say about that. And there is something called the Young Farmers Coalition, the National Young Farmers Coalition, which is a fantastic group of young people farming who have taken on to lobby Washington for policies that help young farmers. And basically, I call it a GI Bill for young farmers. We have 2%, less than 2% of the people in this nation farm. And the average age of farmers is close to 60. So you just do that calculation and you realize what a thin stock our food system rests on in terms of human capital. And fortunately, many, many young people now are attracted to going into farming. But as you say, there are barriers. And I think it's our responsibility. I mean, you could just say that it's national security issue, that we need to do things, whatever we can, to support young people in learning how to farm. Because farming isn't just like, oh, I think I'll buy a piece of land and put some seeds in it. There's a ton to know about farming. So being able to support education and training, on Whidbey Island, we have a training center, and it's a year-long program, and it's really excellent, and it trains young farmers not only in farming methods, but in marketing and budgeting and running a business. These are skills that young people need. They can, if they go into it blind, they're more likely to fail. So that's one piece of the GI Bill for young farmers. Another one is loan guarantees or scholarships, so that young people can get education and can take out loans, because young people don't have a lending history. So how do they get credit so that they can buy land? And another piece of it is there are many ways that we could alter the zoning and taxation regulations to make it easier for young people to have access to land. For example, could we give landowners, like on Whidbey Island, it looks like it's agricultural. There's a lot of hobby farms, people who like to have 5 acres and a horse out there someplace grazing, as sort of a visual feature. But could these people be given a tax break so that if they give half their land to a young farmer to farm and they give them some sort of tenure on the land, They don't have to pay taxes on that piece of land. So how do we find ways for young people to own, to have access to land? Maybe they don't own it. There's a whole idea that's called spin farming, that you farm on other people's yards. And I've heard stories of people who, you know, like the carrots are in one neighborhood and the lettuce is in another neighborhood. So how can we give young people pieces of land to work? And not all of them want to work our back and front yards. It's not easy to necessarily find, make that match, because a lot of them would like a 5-acre parcel and be able to really work it. But there are taxation we can alter so that young people can have access to land. There's succession planting and planning. There's in Marin County, there is community, there's a agricultural land trust where they raise money and buy agricultural land and lease it to people. So all of these are strategies that come out of that commitment, that sort of felt sense that, oh, I see. I live in this country. We only have 2% of the people who farm. The average age of farmers is almost 60. I want to support farmers. I find that this is an important thing to do. There's also innovations in lending that are really amazing. If you go to slowmoney.org, they have been working for years on how to develop venture capitalists and loan funds, et cetera, so that agricultural businesses, not just, you know, young people planting seeds, but maybe it's a value added company. Maybe it's somebody who, you know, who butchers and packages the meat. And another piece of it is, and this is a little bit radical, this is where my libertarian comes out, is that I think that there should be sort of a dual regulatory system where there's regulations for the national food, like you want to go in the grocery store and you want to buy the milk and you want to know the milk is okay. But the regulations to keep that milk supply wholesome make it impossible for small-scale dairymen, for example, to sell their milk. They just can't pay the licensing and they can't meet the regulations. It's onerous. And so is there such a way that we can start to take more responsibility for the food that we eat? And perhaps you know somebody who milks a cow. Now, I know it's illegal and you shouldn't talk about it, but perhaps you know somebody and you've been and you've met the cow and you feel fine about drinking that milk. It shouldn't be nigh on to smoking marijuana. As a matter of fact, it's more illegal than marijuana in the state of Washington now. So anyway, these are a whole bunch of strategies that once you start to identify as an eater in a food system, not just a consumer at, you know, sort of like a vending machine, you know, then you start to care about these things and you start to look for answers. And we can see this as a burden, like, oh God, it's just like, I don't want to think about it. I just want to go and have a pizza. But, or we can see it as a piece of our commitment to sanity, to sustainability, and to community. You know, these are values that so many of us hold, but where do we get to act them out? We can act them out in the process of making our own food choices. And just to remember, all food comes from somewhere. It's not like a magic thing. It's not like the, you know, the replicator on the Starship Enterprise. It comes from somewhere and you can be in relationship with it. And it is something where you can invest love in it and you can receive the love that's been invested in it from your farmer. So we do.
And I just, you know, it's a great way to end it, is to have that relationship with your local farmers. Think about a relationship with your food. And you've given a lot for people to think about, I think. I want to actually leave everybody with this thought of to think about your relationship with food and where it comes from and what that means to you personally. And can you test yourself to even do a 50-mile diet or a regional statewide diet for people to think about that? So thank you so much, Vicki, for being with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity to share all of these ideas and stories. They're all very fresh for me and they're yummy. And so I appreciate it.
Yeah. And look for her book in 2014. I'm sure there will be lots of national press. You'll see it in the bookstores, I am sure. So I want to leave everyone today to remind them you can sign up for the Woman of Wisdom newsletter at www.womenofwisdom.org. And I want to invite you to be part of our financial campaign. If you live in Washington State, you can be part of a survey that would be giving your thoughts on how we can improve our education system in Washington. It's going to be delivered to our state government legislatures in Olympia. On the survey at the end, you mark Woman of Wisdom, and we will receive a grant. We've already raised $300. We're only 20 surveys away from receiving $500 and 70 away from $1,000, which we could really use. We're a nonprofit organization. So if you go to www.communityforums.org, do the survey. It's good through the end of March 31st. And actually, they have a bonus $500 grant for the organization with the most surveys that come in by next Monday at midnight. And we are number one right now. Woman of Wisdom has the most surveys coming in, and we're really, people are really responding, because what a great way to give our legislature our feedback on how our dollars are being spent on education and how we can improve our education system. So this is Chris Stanis. I'm the founder of Woman of Wisdom. Next week, I'm very excited. I'm going to have Jean Houston talking about her new book, The Wizard of Oz. So have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Stanis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, radio with Chris Stanis.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.
Love is officially in the air. Transformation Talk Radio and the Dr. Pat Show is showing you love all year long, not just for Valentine's Day. Dr. Pat, known for her Pay It Forward manifesto, is now joined by the hosts on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm in love, baby, with Transformation Talk Radio. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. Amazing host, incredible guest. Get your groove on. Feel the love, be the love.
Can't get enough for your love, baby.
There's a great hunger in this world for new lines of thought, because everywhere you look, they say that joy can just be bought. So please come and set aside some time to relax from frenetic. Transform your life. It takes a while, but results are magnetic. We aim to grasp the best in life and track the ways we grew. The how, the why, the what, wherefore, all this we share and do. But every now and then, we hope that you will share right back. Transformation Talk Radio wants you to hop on track. So calling all hosts, tall and small, of every size and hue, there's nobody we'd rather have to tell your tale than you. And if you have a tale to tell of how your life is changing, we'd love to hear you on the line, say how you're rearranging. So run, don't walk, to call us now. We'll set you up and show you how.
Hi, this is Dr. Pat. Join our radio family. Send us an email, host@transformationtalkradio.com, or call 1-800-930-2819. Host your own show. Let us help you bring your voice to the world.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Hello, everyone. This is Cosmic Connections with Madeline. This is Madeline Gerwig.
This is Saskia Roel. You're listening to Your Soul Guidance with me on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, you guys. This is Lisa Kay, and you're listening to Success and Empowerment Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Alive and Shine with Adi and Savitri.
Hello, welcome.
Hi, everyone. It's Dr. Peggy Parker, and you're listening to Simple Solutions for Everyday Health.
Hi, everyone. I'm Christine Epchurch.
And I'm Sabrina Fritz.
And you are listening to Authenticity Rising.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Jeff Lineweaver, and you are listening to Dialogue Radio on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I'm CJ Liu, and you're listening to Fire It Up with CJ.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Our hosts are setting a new standard for a fresh kind of talk radio, creating conversations that are transforming the world, one listener at a time. Transformation Talk Radio's mission is to broadcast a distinct blend of live talk radio interviews with a mix of uplifting and intelligent news, educational and practical information. Topics range from personal development to critical issues relevant to a rapidly changing world. Stay tuned. Transformation Talk Radio starts at the top of every hour.